You know, biblical literacy is an issue that we're all concerned about. How well do our kids really know the Bible? Well, Explore the Bible Kids provides book-by-book studies that take your kids through the whole Bible in a way that will deepen their Bible knowledge. You can preview 4 weeks of Explore the Bible Kids at lifeway.com/explorethebible. And now, our episode. Listeners, welcome to the Kids Ministry 101 podcast. I'm your host, Chuck Peters. I'm joined again today by the director of Lifeway Kids, Jana Magruder.
Hello, Chuck.
Hey, Jana. And we are talking about kids ministry essentials. Jana has a new book that's out called Kids Ministry That Nourishes, Three Essential Nutrients of a Healthy Kids Ministry. Over the last two episodes, we've talked about the first two of the three essentials. If you missed those episodes, go back to the archive. You can find all of the archives on kidsministry101.com, along with other training and blog posts from the Lifeway Kids team. Look for those there and listen to those, and then come back and finish with this one as we finish out our three-episode series on kids ministry essentials. We've talked about the fact that kids ministry, a healthy kids ministry, should be kingdom expanding in focus and should be heart transforming in nature. Yes. And now the third of those is kind of the outcome of that, is that it should be culture shaping. And so, Jana, let's set this up idea of what does it mean? What does it mean to be a culture shaping kids ministry?
Okay, well, a culture shaping kids ministry is about bringing up kids, the next generation, to be culture shapers as opposed to shaped by the culture. I know that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
So we know that, goodness, we've got kids of all ages in our ministry. So fast forward 10, 20 years for some of them, they're inheriting. Think about the culture we're in right now. It feels pretty dark. Think about what it's going to be like when they are in leadership seats, or when they are just in their middle schools, when you pass them off to the student pastor, how is that going to look? We talked about heart transforming, and we know that once a heart is truly transformed by the Holy Spirit, you know, through the gospel, a child has made a decision to follow Christ, that the Great Commission starts then. The Great Commission doesn't start when they go on their first mission trip. It doesn't start when they're adults. It starts whenever they decide to say yes to being a follower of Christ. And so how do we equip them? So our roles change as we challenge and equip them to be able to be salt and light to their own communities of classmates, teammates, neighbors, friends, etc. Everybody in their world. How can they shape the culture around them? Mm.
And there's so much pressure by the culture to make us what it wants us to be, right? As Christians, for one, but just as people, that the culture wants to, it wants to shape our worldview about what's right and what's wrong and where do we stand on issues. And so this is a really important thing for us to instill in our kids, this idea that they don't have to conform to the pattern of this world, to look like everyone around them, but it also can be scary because it means they don't look like everyone around them.
Right.
So what do you make of that?
Well, I think that's what, as parents and ministry leaders, that's what keeps us up at night is how do we look different, but yet have to insert ourselves into these conversations and these choices. For kids, it's a lot about choices. Without alienating ourselves so much that we don't impact the culture. So there's a fine line there.
Because this isn't just be separate from the culture, right? This isn't pull away. This is in the world without being of the world.
Absolutely.
And yet we're going a step farther and we're saying, really, we have the opportunity and we need to, as followers of Christ, shape the culture, not just resist the culture.
Right. And so a lot of this is about equipping. I mean, we keep going back to that word, equipping, not just our volunteers who are speaking into kids' lives a few hours a month when they're in our midst, but also more than that even, it's about equipping the parents. And what are the parents feeling right now? They're feeling pretty anxious about, say, having a fourth, fifth, sixth, and then onward because they know what's going to face them.
Yeah.
And we know that parenting gets harder as we guide our kids through choices like that. So how can we as ministry leaders work with our ministry partners on our staff teams to make sure that mom and dad are equipped to have some maybe really hard conversations about choices their child might encounter, situations their child might be in, that really aren't even appropriate for us to have at church. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Mom and dad need our help.
Yeah.
So we have to equip them to do it. So these are things that we really can't talk about. Like we really can't talk about some of the things like gender identity and homosexual marriage and all the things, abortion, things that maybe the kids that we steward in our age group, we don't know where they stand and where their families stand on having those conversations. But we know that those conversations need to happen earlier and earlier.
They're happening in the culture.
They're happening in the culture. And so mom and dad might be really afraid to have those conversations, but we need to provide a safe and impactful way for them to equip themselves on how to talk to their child. And so there are resources for that. We certainly here at Lifeway Kids lean on ERLC, the ERLC. .com is the URL. I wanted to say the acronym before I spit out the whole word because it's a lot. So the ERLC stands for the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. And they, led by Russell Moore, have a plethora of resources on their website that are free. Articles, ebooks, things like that, that parents can use to guide them, educate themselves on how to help their kids understand what's going on around them and to not be afraid. It would be a mistake to be afraid and avoid having these conversations.
Yes. And part of that, that fear is really what we need to focus against.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is it, you know, in order to shape the culture, that requires confidence in who you are and who God's made you and what you're called to do and what you believe.
Right.
And so we need to instill that confidence
in our kids.
Those
are the things we can talk about.
Yes.
In the time that we have with kids is who they are in Christ, their identity in Christ, that they were made and designed by the God of the universe. Mm. And made as, you know, a girl and made as a boy, and how God designed marriage. Those are the things that we can talk about. From a biblical point of view, as Sunday school teachers, as discipleship leaders, all those kinds of conversations we can have at church, and then we can equip mom and dad to have more of the cultural conversations at home.
Mm. So why is it important for kids to see that modeled at home as opposed to just when they come to church?
Well, it's important because that's going to happen. I mean, mom and dad are going to mess up, right? We know that families are messy. No family is perfect. And moms and dads are going to mess up. They're going to sin. And we want to help mom and dad know that living out the gospel is about saying, I'm sorry, in front of your children or to your children, or asking for forgiveness from your spouse if in front of your children so that they can see mama messed up, mm-hmm. daddy messed up. Discipline, that's living out the gospel.
Yeah.
Is I'm a sinner, I'm fallen, I need forgiveness, I need a rescuer, and so do you. And by the way, so does your friend, and so does your classmate. And so we can live our lives with grace-based parenting, which translates to kids being able to do the same for their peers.
And kids need to see that their parents' faith is real.
Yes.
And that it, where the rubber meets the road. It's not just mm-hmm. you go to church and you put on a certain outfit and you behave a certain mm-hmm. way, but that when you come home, that affects the way mom and dad make decisions and the way they handle issues that arise, even in the culture as they interact with neighbors and non-believers
right.
and those kind of things.
And speaking of that, I think it's also important for the church to almost commission and model to the family how to live on mission. So there's a chapter in the book I'm looking at it right now called Hayrides and Hot Dogs, Missional Family Ministry.
Yes.
So our family in Austin, Texas, we always had a Halloween party. And I know that that can be a controversial topic.
Call it a fall festival.
We call it a fall festival or that kind of language. But we knew that we wanted to be in our neighborhoods on October 31st.
Engaging with kids and families.
Because we know that that's when neighbors are out and about and actually knocking on your door. How yes. rare is that? We live in a society where usually you come in, if you have a garage, you go in that garage, close it behind you, and you don't talk to your neighbors very yes. much. So we really tried to catalyze that as an opportunity to get to know our neighbors and even to host a hot dog party. And we'd put a little trailer with hay on the back of my husband's Jeep and have hay rides and yes, go trick-or-treating. But we were able to develop relationships and trust with neighbors who became our friends. And then guess what happens? Once you have trust with people that you're living life with, you have the ability to share the gospel with them, as opposed to a cold turkey kind of method, which, you know, the Holy Spirit works in both ways. But it was a really neat opportunity for our kids to see this is how you live on mission, is where exactly where God puts you right now. Now, we're also going to talk about how, well, keep going.
Go ahead.
Okay.
You keep going.
I'll segue. I'll take that segue. So there's living out the gospel now and living the Great Commission even as a child. And we as parents modeling that for our kids and as families. But then we also, as children's ministry leaders, we want our kids to have a heart for the nations.
Yes.
So a heart for the people around you, but also begin to understand that there are so many unreached people groups in the world who've never heard the name of Jesus. And we want our kids to care about that. We want to bring up the next generation that cares enough to either go to the nations or at least send with their tithes and offerings or, praying,
yeah.
you know, and deeply caring about missionaries and those people groups that have yet to hear the gospel. And so that's part of culture shaping, is not just shaping this immediate culture that I would call it the first sphere around us.
Yes.
If you take the ripple effect and go to the next level, you're affecting, you know, how can you affect and care about your city, the homeless people that live in your city, or the estranged people that live, whoever those groups are, as a church, as a family, how can you care about those people? And then beyond that, you know, people that in our own states and country, and then the world. And we, you know, I love Lifeway's curriculum because we have that as such a part of our DNA that we include missions education and content in everything that we do, because we want kids to be exposed to the stories of the missionaries now, so that when the time comes, the Lord may have a calling on their life to go, you know?
Yes.
So that's part of culture shaping.
And we need those kids to be strong and confident to know what they believe and why,
right.
to be unapologetic for their faith and for what they believe and for living for the Lord.
Absolutely.
So this value of culture shaping, a culture shaping kids ministry, is one of the three. So let's come back to all three values: kingdom expanding,
yes,
heart transforming, mm-hmm. and culture shaping. How do the three of those together work together in harmony mm-hmm. to help you have a healthy? You use the word nutrients in your book about mm-hmm. how do those three values come together to help us have a strong, healthy kids ministry.
Well, they are kind of meant to be a trajectory. So if you start with the kingdom expanding nutrient, that's all about creating a mindset and philosophy about what your ministry is going to be about. It's going to be about expanding God's kingdom as opposed to just valuing ministry building. And so those can get out of whack really quickly. And I talk about a kingdom-expanding mindset begins with your own heart and making sure that your own heart stays Sabbathed before the Lord and healthy. And then that trickles down to the leaders and volunteers that serve with you. And everybody has – it's actually an easier way to recruit volunteers to be able to cast that kind of vision, that we're about – serving alongside one another through servant leadership and reaching the kingdom and expanding God's kingdom through children's ministry. So that's number one. If you start there, get your team healthy, yourself healthy, then you're ready to focus on the kids in your ministry. And that's all about cutting straight to the heart. And we want transformed hearts. And we know that we in our own flesh cannot do that. Christ alone transforms hearts. He does it through his word. And so we have to constantly be sure that in the short time that we have them in our midst, that we are rooted in scripture and focused on Christ for the gospel, for transformed hearts. And then once you have a child with a transformed heart, that leads us to our essential nutrient of the day, which is culture shaping. That's the next step. I love Jesus. I want to follow him. Well, that's what he says in his word. Follow me. And he gives us the Great Commission, and that starts now, even if you're a child. So that's what culture shaping is all about. So really, they do build, and they are a trajectory. They stand alone. That's why we're able to even have like a podcast just about one.
Yes.
But we can, when we put them all together, they're meant to make sense and build a ministry philosophy that you can use for your own ministry, take some of the language and kind of rewrite your own. But these are what I would call the closed-handed decisions that you make, the essential nutrients that your ministry must have. There are a lot of open-handed things in children's ministry. What curriculum you're going to use? Are you going to do VBS or are you not? Are you going to have Bible drill or not? Those are open-handed decisions.
Yes.
That you can decide based on the DNA of your church and your families and things like that. But the closed-handed things, these are the essential nutrients, and that's what we've been talking about.
And they are foundational to building a strong and healthy ministry that's vibrant and biblical and effective. Jana, thank you for the last three episodes, but for this one in particular. Listener, the book is Kids Ministry That Nourishes, Three Essential Nutrients of a Healthy Kids Ministry by Jana Magruder. You can find it on Amazon.com or on Lifeway.com. And for more information for back issues or prior episodes of the podcast, if you missed those, look at kidsministry101.com, where you can listen to more episodes where we discuss these essentials. But we'd encourage you to pick up a copy of this book, review it yourself. It's a quick, easy read. And then use it for discussion with your team. And I would challenge you to evaluate your ministry to see what is it that you are building upon. And consider these making these three essentials of ours your own.
Yes.
Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Jana, for being here.
Absolutely.
And listener, thank you for listening to the Kids Ministry 101 podcast.